I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 14. Luke 14. While you're turning, I want to say that this morning I'd like to consider an issue that is the issue of life and death. It's always been the issue between God and men since the garden. The issue is, here's the issue. Who is the boss? Now this is the issue, right here. Who's in control? Is it God or is it men? Who rules? God or men? And who am I going to serve? God or men? Now, according to the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ is the all-powerful Lord of glory. John 17, 1 and 2, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that is, glorify your Son as your Lamb, as the one that you've sent to save his people. Glorify your Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee as the electing God, as the God who's been pleased to show mercy and compassion to whomsoever he will. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. The Spirit of God moved upon the Apostle Paul to write Romans 14:9, for to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived that he might be Lord, both of the dead and living. Now God Almighty has declared him the Lord. He's the Lord. So being the Lord, the one mediator between God and men, there's but one. The beloved Son in whom God is well pleased. The great high priest who ever liveth to make intercession for his people. The one who is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto him. Here's the question. Who am I going to serve? Now, it's either going to be him or it's going to be me. One of the two. The Lord, the sovereign Lord who came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. He, according to his word, who laid down his life for the sheep. The one, according to his word, that will receive all that the Father's given him and will in no wise cast him out. That's what he said. The Lord, before whom every knee is going to bow. Now listen to this. Every knee is going to bow. Now or later. But every knee is going to bow. Every tongue's going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, this is the issue. Okay. Now, Luke 14, I'd like to look at verses 25 to 35. And may the Lord bless these words to our heart. This is the issue right here. I'm telling you, this is the issue. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them. Now these huge multitudes. Now, I want you to notice that. It wasn't a, it didn't say it was one great multitude, which it was, but it was broken down. And there went great multitudes with him, multitudes of people which were following him, obviously, for various reasons. I don't doubt that there were some that knew him and loved him, called out of darkness, some to have their needs met. There was a group, I know, he fed 5,000 men plus the women and children one day, and he went to the other side of a sea, and they followed him. And when they followed him, they said, when we found you, he said, you came to see me because of the bread and the fish. That's why you came. Some out of curiosity, I don't know. But there were great multitudes with them. And he turned and said unto them, while they were following, he turned. He looked at him and he said something that I don't doubt for a second. Probably just shook many, if not all, to the very core of their being. Now listen to what he said. If any man come to me, that is, if any man is coming and saying, I'm going to follow the Lord, I'm going to follow Christ. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now, consider who's talking. Now, this is the word of life himself. This is God. Hold your place right there. Just turn over to Matthew 10. It's Matthew's account of this. It's how the Spirit of God moved on Matthew to write this. Matthew 10, 34 to 39. Now listen to this is what the Lord said. Matthew 10, 34. Think not that I'm come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Now, I looked at he that findeth his life. What did he mean when he said that? He that findeth his life. Here it is. Seeks to preserve his life by sinful compliance to the world and thereby denying him. That's what he meant. He that findeth his life. Now, if there's anything that a regenerated sinner wants, if there's anything he desires, it's to be his disciple. I want to follow him. I do. I want to follow after him. I don't want to be cast out. I want to know him. I don't want to hear him say to me, these words I don't even like to think about it, but I just thought to myself, he said many will say to me in that day, many, Lord, Lord. And they'll give some reasons why they feel as though that he ought to have them come in. And he's going to say unto them, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. I thought to myself, if those words were said to me, I have no hope. I'm gone. I'm gone. There's no recourse. There's no plea bargain. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I'm thinking, Lord, Please teach me. Lord, teach me of yourself. I want to know you. I want to be found in you. Now, he said something back in Luke 14. He's talking about, if any man come to me and hate not father, mother, wife, children, brother, sister, yeah, his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Now, I'm thinking to myself, he's talking about hating somebody. He's using a word that seems to contradict what we've been commanded to do. Now, listen to this. John 13:33, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I've loved you, that you also love one another. By this, John 13:35, shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one to another. Romans 12:10, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love in honor, preferring one another. 1 John 4:7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. So here's my question. Is the Lord saying something in Luke 14 that contradicts all these scriptures that deal with love for one another? Well, we know that's not so. So what's he saying? It's all bound up in that word hate. That's the issue right there. Hate, if you'd like to look this up, I encourage you to do this. Vines Concordance is where Vines is a good concordance. If you don't speak Hebrew, if you happen not to speak Hebrew or Greek, then I would encourage you to get a good concordance and look it up. Find out, what does that word mean? Hate, same word. It is actually... It has two different meanings. One of them is talking about hate when it's an unjustified hate. It's unjustified. Here's an example of it in Matthew 10:22. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Now, in that word right there, hate, that word hate right there, God's people are hated for his sake. That's unjustified. There's no reason. That's just old carnal man's nature. We hate God because we hate God being God. If he would allow us to be God and just let him be kind of the recipient of our actions, nobody hates that God. But I mean, when it's God, this God right here, that hate. But secondly, that same word, it may be interpreted to express, and again, I'm just writing down the definition, an aversion, a strong hatred toward the temptation of another to forsake Christ. That's the word. It is an aversion or a strong hatred that one regenerated by the grace of God has toward that temptation of another to forsake Christ. The heart of his message is revealed in his word. Now, if you're back in Luke 14, the heart of his message is revealed in his words in verse 33 of Luke 14. He said, so likewise, I'm going to deal with these others between there and there, but so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. So remember, in his words, back in when we read them in Matthew 10:37, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He never said that it's the duty of believers to arbitrarily hate their parents. If somebody said something that contradicts the fifth commandment, Honor thy father and thy mother, thy God, which thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So when the Lord said in Luke 14, except a man hate his father and mother, he never meant concerning husbands to have no reason to hate their wives. And he said in Luke 14, he that hate not his father, his mother, his wife, his children. Ephesians chapter 5, 25 says, husbands, you love your wives. As Christ loved the church, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. To hate our children? Is that what he meant? Arbitrary, unjustified. Ephesians 6, 4 said, and you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But the word that the Lord used clearly sets forth that those that follow him are to love him above all others, above all other loves. The nearest and dearest of all connections, even our own lives. Listen, when we talk about loving him even above our own lives. Now listen to what Job said in Job 42, 5 and 6. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore, I abhor myself. I spurn and cast away myself and repent in dust and ashes. Paul the Apostle said concerning himself, oh, he's talking about his old man. You know this. His old man. There's two men in every believer. Two men. Old man, new man. And that old man is bent on tempting, drawing away that new man, which he can't do. Sin doesn't have dominion over us. He can't do it. But that old man has one desire, to draw us away from Christ. I will not have that man rule over me. That's the old man. And Paul says concerning himself, his old man, oh wretched man that I am. Job said it like this, I abhor myself. I loathe myself. That's hatred. That's the word that the Lord used. Now that the strength of that word hate. Now I want you to grab hold of this now. I've entitled this message, The Cost of Following Christ. If the Lord had said, turned to him and said, now listen, if any man come after me, I'll make you rich. I'll prosper you. You know, you'll be, you'll have, money in the bank and food in the cupboard and no more troubles. And said, That's not what he said. He said, if any man come after me and hate not father, mother. The scripture sets forth back in, hold your place, Deuteronomy 13. I want you to read this. Deuteronomy 13, verses 6 to 11. I'm talking about the heart, the spirit of what the Lord has said in Luke 14. Any man that hate not. Deuteronomy 13, verse 6 to 11. If thy brother, the son of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or the wife of thy bosom, or thy friend, which is thine own soul, entice thee secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which thou hast not known, thou nor thy fathers, namely of the gods of the people which are round about you, nigh unto you, or far off from thee, from the one end of the earth even to the other end of the earth. Thou shalt not consent unto him, nor hearken unto him, neither shalt thine eye pity him. Thou shalt neither shalt thou spare, neither shalt thou conceal him, but thou shalt surely kill him. Thine hand shall be the first upon him to put him to death, and afterwards the hand of all the people. And thou shalt stone him with stones that he die, because he sought to thrust thee away from the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. And all Israel shall hear and fear, and shall do no more such wickedness as this is among you. You know what the law demanded? For someone trying to come and pull a believer away, attempt to pull him away from the Lord. You know what the law demanded? Death. Death. Let me ask you something. You think this is a serious matter of following Christ? This attitude of, I believe 5 points of Calvinism. I've said before, devils believe 5 points of Calvinism. People in hell, I guarantee you, they believe in 5 points, the truth of the gospel. They believe that. Can't do anything about it. This thing of this attitude of it doesn't matter. It just happened. The Lord says, you hate not everything that is dear to you and tries to draw you away from me, unless you despise it, reject it, spurn it, push it away. You cannot be my disciple. That's serious. This is the hatred, that godly resentment and opposition toward any that would desire to draw us away, our soul, our love for Christ, even our very life. John 12:25, he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. What does that mean? That means I take God's side against myself. Against me. Psalm 139:29. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee. I hate them. The Spirit of God moved on David to write those words. I hate those, Lord, that hate you. And am I not grieved with those that rise up against thee? For the believer, is there not a hatred of all that hates him? That word, it's not an unjustified hate. It's just that feeling of, I hate your guts. Why? Because I don't like the way you look. I don't like what you wear. I don't like it. That's not. This is a godly hatred. A godly hatred. Jacob have I loved. Esau have I hated. Who said that? God said it. So there is a hatred that you and I we don't grasp hold of the significance of it. But the Lord has said, He's expressed the seriousness of following after Him. And experience has shown that the greatest hindrances, the greatest oppositions to believers, are they not found within the closest circles of our associations? What did the Lord say in Matthew 10:36? And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. What's the issue here? The issue is when the Lordship of Christ, who's boss, who's in control, who rules? When that issue is made to be the issue within a family, who's on the throne? God's on the throne. Who chose his people? God chose them. Who did Christ redeem? His people. Who's the Spirit of God call out? All that the Father has given me. Whenever the lordship, the sovereignty of God is the issue, when it's the issue, and someone tries to draw you away from that. Oh, I don't think you should. You're making such a big deal out of this. It's a big deal. It is a big deal. This is the priority. Those that have no heart to follow after Him who is God, and when they rise up to draw you away, trying to convince you. Spurn them. Don't do it. The law demanded you kill them. Thank God. We're not under the law. But I tell you, that attitude of the heart, no. Who are we going to serve? Joshua told the people, you know, he said, "You choose you this day who you're going to serve." He said, "For me and my house, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to believe God. I'm going to walk, you know. I love my wife. And she loves me. I love my kids. They love me." But I tell you this, none can take a priority over my love for Christ, my obedience to Christ. If anyone, the Lord named them, father, mother, wife, children, He named them. If anyone says, now you make up your mind, who's it going to be? Who's it going to be? And you're going to follow after, you know, this God you're talking about? Or are you going to follow after me? You have one decision to make. Who's the boss? One decision. Who's in control? If any man come after me and hate not, and I describe what that word hatred means, that which would draw us away from Christ, that David spoke, said, I hate those that hate you. I have no choice. Luke 14, verse 27. Whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. I tell you, it's a heavy or weighty cross to the flesh to bear when we have to take a stand concerning the glory of God in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ and disagree or forsake those that we love, those that would draw us away from Him. That somebody said, well, I think you're just taking it too far. I'm taking it as far as the Lord declared it to be. That's where He declared it. This cross for the believer has been taught and is seen by faith. And he sees by faith. This is the cross. To stand upon the truth of the faithfulness that is due unto the Lord. And forsake all that would draw us away. No, don't put me in that position. Brother Henry Mahan told me one time a story of a man and his wife that attended the church there in 13th Street. I'm sure y'all have heard this. Brother Henry said one time, he said that the wife, if I remember it correctly, said to her husband, she said, I'm telling you, if you go to the services tonight, if you go back, I won't be here when you get back. And he said, you know, he said, if it wouldn't have been for what you just said, he said, I could have not gone to the services tonight, and that would have been, you know, my loss. But he said, you've made this an issue now that I'm going to have to make a decision. And he said, I have no choice. And she left. He went. But I'm telling you, this is what the Lord's talking about. And that's a heavy cross to bear. I know it is. I know it is. But it's a cross that must be borne. Whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. He gives an example. I'm going to wrap this up. He gives an example of counting the cost, things that we can understand. He said, for which of you, 28, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether it have sufficient to finish it. Lest haply after he hath laid the foundation and not able to finish it, all that behold it began to mock. I have driven down, there's a highway that I drive down all the time. And I just about since I moved here, you know what's up? The foundation. That's up. That's the only thing that's up. There's sitting on a lot, and it's just a foundation. And you know what? Every time I see that, you know what I think? You started it, and you didn't have enough money to finish it. Something happened. I don't know what happened, but something happened. And that's what the Lord says. Saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish it. Or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulted whether he be able with 10,000 meet him, cometh against him with 20,000? Or else while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Here's the point. Count the cost. Count the cost. I kept thinking, I've been over my mind over and over and over. I was getting ready. I was at the house this morning trying to get ready. And I kept thinking about that, you know, song, I guess. I want to be a Christian in my heart. Everybody claims to be a Christian. I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. I want to be a Christian in my heart. I want to know Him, be found in Him. And then the Lord sets forth after giving those glorious truths of counting the cost, he sets forth there the sadness, let me say it like that, of not following after the Lord. Starting like they started a tower, they started to war, and they didn't finish. He says in verse 34, 35, salt is good. Now the Lord had set forth concerning His people. He said, you are the salt of the earth. You know, salt has a peculiar taste. It's a quality about it. Salt. It flavors foods. It's got a preserving quality. And believers, sinners saved and blessed by the Spirit of God to know Christ, are the means by which God, through the preaching of the gospel, sets forth the glorious savor of life in Christ. And through these, when He said, you're the salt of the earth, through these, saved and kept by the Spirit of God, God preserves society from total corruption. God's got people in this world, and He preserves it for their sake, for His glory and their sake. Salt is good, but if it's lost its savor, it's useful. It's a preserver of life and health, to keep from putrefying and rotting, but if it loses its savor. What is that? Yeah. It's like those scripture says in First John 2. If it loses its savor. 1 John 2, 18, 19. Little children, it's the last time, as you've heard, that Antichrist should come. Even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. There was a man who used to go with Paul. He was a preacher. Paul's name was Demas. Demas. Here's what Scripture says, 2 Timothy 4, 9 and 10. Do thy diligence to come shortly to me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Salt is good. But if salt, and it's those that claim to be, or claimed one time to be, believers, have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? Now listen to this. It is neither fit for the land nor for the dunghill, but men cast it out. Friend, there's a high cost involved in following after Christ. I pray that the Lord keep us, show us of Himself. Deliverance. Lord, keep me. I won't be kept unless He keeps me. But when it comes to serving, following after Him, if you are ever put in a position to where, and I'm telling you, I experienced the very words Well, let me say it like this. I heard somebody told me. It was something that happened concerning myself. But I heard that the words after going there to preach, and there was a problem. And one man stood up and said, now this issue that was talked about God's sovereignty and stuff, he said, look, it's not worth splitting over. That's contrary to what the Lord said. There's a high cost to what we call free grace. And the issue is obedience. Who's the boss? Who are we going to follow? Are we going to follow God, or are we going to follow men? The Lord said, any man comes after me and you don't hate your father, mother, brother, sister, even your own life, you cannot be my disciple. Lord, teach me that. Teach me the truth of that, because who said it, and he's true, and his word endures forever. I pray God bless it to our hearts for his glory and our good.